Welcome to Commander Central, episode 38. Today we're going to talk about the high cost of Commander. It has a high cost emotionally, having to see all your friends lose game after game to all your well-built and highly tuned decks. It has a cost physically when they table flip after losing game after game to all your well-built and highly tuned decks. But most, it has a high cost financially because all the cards you need to make a well-built and highly tuned deck are getting really, really expensive. So we're going to talk about that. Before that, though, we will probably read a little bit of social media and talk about some games we played and maybe just talk. I am Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
You know what else is hard on? Your emotions. Especially when you fly all the way to Vegas and lose in the Attraxable.
To a bunch of guys from Wisconsin. When you fly all the way from a foreign country just to lose to some guys from Wisconsin, that would emotionally be scarring.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we're really not that far from the border.
And luckily, Canada has a good healthcare system, so they can come back and see the therapist and talk through their problems. This is where we would segue into Talkspace being our sponsor, except for they're not. But that would be a perfect way to dive into that.
It would be. I might reach out to them.
You should, right. Yeah. So anybody do anything cool this week? Anything Magic-related that's worth mentioning? Chris has a 1v1 tournament this weekend.
Yes, I do.
And Max and I are going to be doing some commentary and color for that.
Yep.
We'll post the Twitch. YouTube.
We'll post the Twitch stream in our Twitter and Facebook pages and the shop's Facebook page. So
if you want to see all three of us simultaneously doing different things at an event, that will be available this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think if there's anything else exciting going on. Not especially right now.
I'm still recovering from Infinity War.
I haven't seen
it. Don't spoilers. I swear to God, I will whoop all of you because I'm going to see it tomorrow. So
I'm not going until Sunday, so I need to avoid them until then as well. I posted the picture on social media, and I told you guys just the basics, but I went and bought a collection last week that wound up being two garbage bags full of cards, which was fantastic seeing that there. So it was somebody online I found, and we'd talked for 3 weeks with her being like, oh, I don't know. And she finally gave me a price. She's like, well, how about $10? I'm like, first of all, you hemmed and hawed for 3 weeks about $10. That's insane. But then I got there, and her husband was there, and she said 10, but he's like, oh, we're going to need at least 25 for those. And I'm like, oh. So I'm like, well, let me see what you got. And then she pulls out two garbage bags with Magic cards. I'm like, really? Because I've bought in collections in weird cardboard boxes, but never in garbage bags before. I started flipping through and I saw enough stuff that I'm like, okay, well, I know I can get 25 back. Because it's not that difficult to get 25 bucks out of two garbage bags filled with cards. So I picked one of the bags up and it has a hole in it. And a couple of cards that come spilling out the side. And I'm like, do you have something else I can put these in? And she goes to the kitchen and comes back with an empty kitty litter pail that's still dusty and still has a quarter inch of kitty litter gravel at the bottom of it. And I'm like, no, this will be fine. Don't worry about it. And she says to me, and I'm not joking, oh, good, I have plans for this anyway. And I'm like, what? She was relieved I didn't take her kitty litter pail.
When you can't make it to the restroom.
Man, yeah, it wasn't a scary experience like I've had sometimes before, but and she looked like Mac's mom from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
So I hauled my cards out. I basically tied the corner of the bag up where the hole was so the hole wasn't there and lugged them out to my car. And then went through everything that night. But, yeah, that was my buying two garbage bags full of Magic cards.
Wow.
But I put the picture on Twitter, and at baddad936 asked if there are any good pulls. And I kept a foil birthing pod. I kept a Ral Zarek. I kept a Necropolis Regent. And I kept a foil doubling cube. And those are just because I'm like, yeah, those are kind of fun. But I wound up basically cashing the rest out to Card Kingdom. And I got, I think, just over $200 for all the bits and pieces that I didn't keep. I kept a few other things besides those cards, but those were the main ones worth mentioning.
I think the foil birthing pod is probably $25 there.
Yeah, something like that.
Same with the Dublin Cube.
Dublin Cube was close to that, too. And there was a ton of, $1 or $2 cards in there. There was no lands. And that was the thing, because it was all stuff from scars up through Theros. But there were no shock lands, there were no fast lands, none of the Czech lands out of Innistrad. So somebody at some point pulled every land out. Like, they didn't pull planeswalkers, they didn't pull foils. So who knows what that was all about. But so yeah, it wound up being a pretty decent deal considering it was
garbage
bags full of Magic cards. So how about any games this week worth talking about? Max just played one.
I played one game last
night. I missed again. So like 2 weeks in a row I've had to miss.
You're going to be real rusty when you come back.
I actually probably am going to be.
I played my Tajik deck against a brand new Bonfire and Sunday deck.
Oh, you didn't tell me that part of it.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So who was playing that?
Blake was playing that.
Okay, our friend Blake was playing that.
I went full on suicidal with my deck. Blake played Repercussion.
Oh, where any damage dealt to a creature is dealt to its controller?
Its controller. Okay. And at this point in the game, we're all pretty around that 38 to 40 life total still. And I'm sitting there going, this game needs to end quickly because either the mono black player is going to go off or Blake is going to somehow win out of nowhere.
Sure.
So I casted Blasphemous Act, thinking, sweet, I'll get Blake down to, you know, under 20. You know, it was a smart move. And then I Sunbird's Invocation into a Reforge the Soul to refill my hand. I'm like, this is awesome.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, well, in response to the Reforge, I'm going to Boros Charm to make my stuff indestructible and then deal you 4, which ends being more because of Fireburn Song Dance. So then he's like, okay, so that can resolve. We fill up our hand. He goes, okay, in response to the Blasphemous Act, I'm going to Path of Exile my Firebird and Song Day. And I'm like, and I die. Because, like, the Boros Charm did enough for the Blasphemous Act to kill me.
Oh, man.
It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun.
That was cool. I want to see that deck. I didn't think he'd have one put together that quickly.
He did. It was. Nice. I didn't really get to see much of it. I mean, he had enough lands. He never missed a land drop, but it was cool to see. I hope to see it more next week.
Is anybody brewing anything or putting any new decks together out of stuff from Dominaria or just stuff in general?
I'm building a Brawl deck.
You are. Mr. shows up to the podcast disliking Brawl is building the Brawl deck. What are you building?
I'm not sure who my general is going to be yet, but it's going to be a Rat Colony Brawl deck.
Nice. What do you need? So do you need rats?
Or
do you
have have 19 of them now.
that should get you there, then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Torment to Hailfire.
There are so many cards I could put in there. I'm still not sure who I'm going to run as the general.
Muldrotha.
Could. I was
just
thinking,
cast those rats out of the graveyard?
That 7-drop vampire with the Rakdos ability in it?
Oh, I could do that, too. I don't know. Really don't know. I was thinking maybe the black-white. I do believe it's a gal who has vigilance.
She makes Blink, knights.
I think.
That makes the knights?
Makes the knights, or she can tap to kill things.
Sure.
Yep.
Nice. I'll be curious to see how that actually plays out. So who talked you into building a Brawl deck, or why did that happen?
Probably like the 9 players who are there on Wednesdays for Standard that are all playing Brawl.
So you're like, okay, I got to get in on this now.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I mean, we're well known in our LGS for Commander, and I'm like, I said if Brawl ever took off, I would build one, so now I have to build one.
Well, good. How about you, Max? Anything? You're still working with Tajik.
I'm still working with Tajik, trying to finalize everything for Vegas in under 40 days, so
yeah,
pressure's on.
That's closing in quickly. I am thinking I've got it like digitally done and I'm moving pieces around. I might try Joyra Super Friends and take Jeru apart because I don't need 2 of those decks. So I'm kind of tinkering with that. I like the idea. I kind of like her as a card, and I don't have currently a red-blue deck. So I think that would give me something weird. Because red-blue Super Friends is kind of weird. That's something that I'm not going to see
again. Curious
how
you're going to win.
I kind of am too. That's one of the reasons I'm not sure about doing it. Because I'm really reliant on Planeswalker ults. Not that Jeru has like a great win con, but at least all the Planeswalkers either make tokens or
they become a creature
or it's
themselves.
Gideon, right.
Yeah.
So at least I have ways to win there, whereas I'm a little bit unsure how I'm going to do it with that deck. So yeah, I don't know. But that's one of the things I'm contemplating, but I haven't actually started buying cards for it yet.
I have quite a few of them.
Yeah, I think I have most of those Planeswalkers, except for I just got rid of my Jace the Mind Sculptor.
So did I.
But
I don't have one. Sorry, guys.
So if he could get banned from Modern, so the price
he's
would
not
drop.
He's not even powerful
I know,
in Modern.
He's not.
That's
he's
why
not.
He's not going to see a ban.
Although, which is why the price might conceivably drop if he's actually not that good in modern. I think so that would be fine, too. I'd be fine with that either way.
I think it's an availability thing. I don't think he'll ever drop much lower than he is.
I think he's just Jace the Mind Sculptor, and he's always just going to be $80. That's just what it is.
Well, now it's legal in two formats. I mean,
right.
He's going to be up there in price.
Okay, let's see. Well, I suppose we can move on to a little bit of social media here. In particular, I think Max has something for us.
So, yes, over the past month, we have been holding our Bonfire and Sunday contest on Twitter. And we are here to announce the two winners. Yes, I said two. We decided to do two cards since I don't want to build the deck, and I don't think Dana wants to build the deck. So we have two extra copies to give away.
And it is Dana and Chris. We're the big winners. High five, Chris.
Woo!
What are the odds of that?
No. So I did all the math, had to hand count everything, typed it into the computer. And the winners for this month's contest are... from Patreon, Braden Greenlees. So thank you for supporting us.
Thank you very much, Braden.
Hit us up on Twitter or through Patreon with an address, and we'll get that card out in the mail to you pretty soon here. And our second winner is Shivam Bhatt, at Electrodal on Twitter.
Yeah, I believe so.
And I believe he's from Commanderin.
Yes, he is. So same thing to you, Shivam. And we'll reach out to both you guys as well.
Yes.
With that info. So since this won't go live till Monday of next week, we'll hit you guys up before then as well. So congratulations on your shiny, foily Bonfire on Sunday.
And I want to hear how the deck gets built.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, send us a list. We'd like to look at them.
We got anything else coming our way here, social media-wise?
Not that I know of. I apologize for the YouTube catastrophe with last week's episode.
This will air Monday, so we might have ironed it out by then, but we're not sure
right.
if that'll be up or not.
Pretty much, I went to fix the few audio issues we had after our episode of Patrick, tried to reload the audio to YouTube, and it doesn't like me this week.
Well, it wasn't just you. Actually, I tried it last night, too, and it wouldn't work for me. So
YouTube sometimes doesn't like anybody.
Yeah, apparently not. It worked for the iTunes one was fine.
Yep, and I think Stitcher refreshed as well. I checked it out on there, so...
So anyway, we'll try to get that ironed out, but it just may not happen on YouTube. We'll see. If you want to reach us on social media, you can find us.
Twitter, the old Tweety Bird, toot, 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 at CMDR Central. Facebook search us on the Facebox, the wonderful zone that we talk about everything, CMDR Central. YouTube, which we just discussed how it dislikes us,
right?
CMDR Central. And online at cmdrcentral.com.
And you can now find us on our new home, at flipsidegaming.com. We are now collaborating with them. We have an official promo code for our listeners to use when you check out. Use the code CMDR. When you check out, you're going to get 10% off your order. On top of that, you know, we get a little help from Flipside, so all purchases you make there will help us out in the end as well.
And we actually, like, Max, you bought some cards from them?
Yes. When they reached out to us, I said, you know, I've heard of you guys through, like, TCG Player, but I ordered directly from their site. I ordered some standard stuff. I ordered some super older cards, like, from the Urza set. I was really impressed with their quality for them being SP. They did not feel SP. They feel more LP or near mint, even. The shipping was pretty quick. I enjoyed ordering from them, and I will definitely give them more business in the future.
I did the same thing last Friday, I think it was. I needed a Kamal's Rudic Vow I wanted for my recce deck, and I hadn't got one, so I ordered one.
I have
one.
Two of them.
I wanted the foil.
I don't have a foil.
So I ordered one from their website, and I went home for lunch today, and it was in the mail today. So I opened it up to like see what it was, and it was a lightly played one that I ordered, and it was, for all intents and purposes, new mint. I didn't see anything on it at all.
Right.
So that I had my transaction with them went really smoothly as well. So they have been taste tested by Commander Central and found to be delicious.
Yeah.
So I would recommend.
Yum, yum, yum.
But we also are sharing them with our rivals of the North. Commander Cookout can also be found there as well.
Yes. And I believe I believe those guys get like 10% of a duck whenever you make a purchase with the exchange rate. I think is how that works as well. So.
That's a lot of cards you got to buy to get them a whole duck.
To get a
duck.
Full duck, right. I thought of that last week after I made the duck reference. I'm like, I should have said loon. Cause it's
or
Canada,
moose.
Or goose. Anything but duck.
Moose.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like Canadian-themed animals I could have chosen, but I went with duck for some reason. So I guess I got to stick with it now. I went with ducks, and I got to like, head down and just plow through. So
let's ignore any hockey reference we could have made at all.
Right, exactly. All right, so thank you very much, Flipside Gaming, and let's move on with the main body of this show, which is talking about the ever-rising cost of playing Commander. And this was inspired by a conversation Max and Chris had over lunch last week or something. So I'll let you guys intro it and explain what you guys are talking about and how this came to be.
Well, I think the very first thing that we talked about was the Mox Diamond buyout.
Yes.
And we had discussed, you know, it'd be nice to talk about the price of cards, but not actually talk about the buyouts themselves.
Sure.
And that's what led us into where we are now with this.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. We were talking about the buyout, and then that kind of led into the fact that Chris has seen this in our shop where, you know, a newer EDH player comes in. They sit down with us because, you know, we're nice guys. We let anybody play with us. Well, they sit down with either their pre-con or their homebrewed deck with that brand new Dominaria Legend. And they go, you know, turn one Evolving Wilds. Then they pass the turn and then you get around to any of us and it's turn one foil fetch into a dual land, into a soul ring, into a, you know, that's intimidating for a new player.
Grim Monolith.
Right.
And I remember being on the other side of that too and feeling the same thing.
Yep.
I sat down like my first game. And someone plays a, you know, Candelabra, and I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to go well.
And, you know, you can tell that player until you're blue in the face that I've been trying to tune this deck for the last 5-6 years, but to them it's like, no, you're just as new as I am.
Right.
How am I supposed to automatically compete at your level when you have cards that cost hundreds of dollars themselves?
Right. And that's always been the case where, if you're a new player, because I said me sitting down against somebody with that was a real thing. Like I played against someone, a friend of Max's, when we first started playing. Actually, he had a Candelabra in a mono red deck, Kikijiki, I think.
Back when it was only like a $500 card.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It was either Kikijiki or the mono red one from Portal that comes in and deals damage.
Oh, Dong Zhao.
Yeah.
The Tyrant. Yeah, one of the two. I think it was Kiki.
I do too.
But anyway, same thing. Like, I'm in the same boat. We're like, man, I am never going to have that kind of card in my deck. And that's just not true because I clearly do now. But the thing, in prepping for the show, I went back and looked through my order history on TCG Player because it logs everything you've ever bought from the website. So you can go back and look. And we started playing in 2013, it was in the fall of 2013 is when we started playing against one another. But I had been building decks like 6 months before that, playing at home and like getting ready to go to the shop and play, kind of. But we always talk about buying a pre-con as a way to start for a new player. And then, you know, you can go tweak your pre-con deck with, you know, add a new card every week or month or whatever, and you can get it powered up. And you can still do that. That's definitely something that you can do. But looking at my TCG history, man, it was way easier for me to do that back in 2013 than it is for somebody else to do that now. I went through my purchases in January of 2013, and even just little stuff. Like, it's easy to look at Mox Diamond and be like, okay, that's now a $300 card. But maybe most people don't play with Mox Diamonds. I bought a playset of All in 10 Signets in 2013. That was one of the first things I bought when I saw I was making decks, and I liked those Signets. So I'm like, I want four of each. I might as well buy four of each because they're cheap. They were like 6 cents a piece. I spent
what?
I spent $5 and 10 cents on TCG Player for a playset. So four of each of all 10 Signets. I spent what would it have been? I spent just over $5 on a playset of all 4 Talismans or all 5 Talismans. So 20 cards, just over $5. That's less than 20 cents a piece. Those talismans are all almost a buck a piece right now.
If not more, yeah.
If not more. No, not like $10 a piece.
No.
But like, if you were to buy a playset of talismans, you'd probably spend close to $40. I bought a Greed for 18 cents. And it's a buck 50 today. I bought 4 Ancient Ziggurats at 80 cents a piece.
Those are not like, 80 cents.
$10 a piece now?
They're 10 to 12 today. I bought 4 Sky Shroud Claims for a quarter each.
They're a $4 card now.
It's a $4 card now. I bought one Pure Steel Paladin that was $1.10. That's 7 today. And I bought 25 Snow Covered Swamps.
Oh.
For $5.
What?
In 2013. Today, that would be $30. They're just over $1 a piece.
Yep.
And that's just the little stuff. Looking back at the bigger stuff, in March, I bought a Skithrix because I was building a, tried to build an effect deck. How much was Skithrix, do you think, in March of 2013?
Ooh.
$4.
$3.43.
So close.
Contagion Engine was $1.20. Leyline of Anticipation was $1.30. Cyclonic Rift was 74 cents. I bought Rift for 74 cents. That was like when Gatecrash was out.
Oh, I wish I could buy Rift for 74 cents.
I remember when I bought my first Rift, it was like $2.
Teferi's Puzzle Box, 84 cents. Consecrated Sphinx was $3. Rhystic Study was $1.30.
Oh, I would kill for $1.30 Rhystic Studies.
Rings of Bright Hearth, $4 for Rings of Bright Hearth. There's a couple more that were ridiculous on here. Yavimaya Hollow, $5.99.
That just got bought out this winter.
Yeah, it's like $60 right now. And it wasn't like I was being smart. I was just like, oh, this is going to be good. I want this card. I want this card.
Yeah, you had deck ideas.
Yeah. Ancient Tomb, $11.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Basics, $4. And a Black Cleave Cliff for $2.98.
Wow. I need a play set of Black Cleave Cliffs.
So today, if you're that same person and you're like, I bought this pre-con deck, oh, I'm going to put an Ancient Tomb in it. Like I was back then, and I'm like, I'll buy an Ancient Tomb, I'll save up my money for it, and spend $10 on it. That's 50 today?
Yep.
It's going to cost you?
$50.
I want a Skithrix for my deck, that's going to cost you 25. I want a Glacial Chasm. I bought a Glacial Chasm for 28 cents. I remember I bought two play sets of Glacial Chasms.
Yep.
And I was giving them to people who were like, oh, I want one of those.
I'm I
like,
got one off of you.
Yeah, I got
like,
one that way too. It. Yep.
Because I've got eight of them. And they cost nothing.
Yep.
And they're not like $20. So they're like $4, but like they're $4. You're not going to buy eight of them just for the fun of it and give them away at $4 a piece. So it's a whole different deal if now if you're a new player buying that pre-con and looking to tweak it than it was
five years ago
when we started doing the same thing.
Yep.
So now I will also say some cards have gone down, like, you know, what was Mana Drain before the reprint? What was Force of Will before the reprint?
Force of Will is still pretty much stabilized. It's actually higher than it was before.
Yes.
Mana Drain has definitely dropped. It's like 85, I think, and it was 200.
Something like that just before the reprint.
I think Mana Crypt was over 200, and it's down under 100. So like things have dropped. The one card when I went through my inventory, I bought a Blighted Agent for 250. I think it's under $1 now. That was the one card that I bought of those two orders that was cheaper today than it was 5 years ago.
That's insane.
So one card of like the 100 I purchased.
Yep.
I mean, that absolutely affects how people are doing what they're going to be doing. So what have you two done to deal with like this change? Have you had to change what you do, or has it affected how you build decks? How has it impacted you guys?
The first thing I think about is like lands. So like the shock lands specifically is I try to keep two of each. So there's always one in a deck and one in my binder. So if I want to build another Azorius deck or I want to build a three-color deck with blue and white in it, I have that extra Hallowed Fountain to put in the deck.
But I'll say this, though. I would bet you also have a spare Hallowed Fountain, or you had those Hallowed Fountains when they were $8 a pop.
Right.
When you were playing during Return of Ravnica Block, or at least when you could buy them for that price. Now, today, when you're that new player...
I was going to say, I just have a very large collection of expensive cards like that, so but I don't have to buy them.
And they weren't necessarily expensive when you got them.
Nope.
I would bet we all have all the Khan's fetch lands, probably play sets of the Khan's fetch lands, or close to... Well, you got rid of...
Max, I got rid of all mine.
But I know Chris probably does, and I do.
I have play sets of Khan's. I have... Almost have all my playsets of Onslaughts now. And
but the Khan's ones, we probably picked up when they were $10 a pop. Because they were $10 for like six months after they came out.
I drafted and bought a lot of Khan's packs. So.
And nowadays, they're twice that for all those fetches. So like you can't just... And you're not just going to get them in a draft. You have to, instead of like going and spending $10 on Friday night and doing a draft and getting a fetch land maybe out of that deal, you just have to spend $20 on a fetch land. That's a much harder thing to deal with for a new player than it is for us.
Yeah.
So you talked about having that collection, Chris. So that's just what you tap into now.
Yep. Or I trade. Trade is a big thing for me. If I can get the, you know, send off $5, $10 cards for a $50 card, I'll do it. If it helps someone who needs those $5, $10 cards.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I used to do a lot of trading. I haven't lately just because it takes a lot of work, in my opinion, to keep
it
up
does.
All the lists and track everything you've sent and just
You also hit a point sometimes where you're like, I only really need like these five cards for decks I'm building. I don't just need.
Yeah.
Like I used to do a lot of trading to trade because I would be like, okay, this is a useful card to have down the road kind of thing. And I'm never going to use that. Whereas nowadays I have those cards I'm going to need down the road for the most part.
Yep. And yeah, like you said, like I think right now the cards I would trade for are the foils I need for to finish some of my decks. And most people don't put those on their deck box trade list or something like that. So it's hard to find that foil Reflector Mage or that foil common from World Wake that no one is going to have.
That's why my foils are on all my trade lists.
Very true.
So has your perception of what qualifies as an expensive card changed? It's like once upon a time where you're like, oh, that's expensive. And today you're like, that's just something I put in decks automatically.
I religiously play Modern. So my price of cards is so skewed compared to a normal player.
But really, Commander's the same way as mine. I mean, that's the same. You're playing in the same financial area for the most part.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my okay, it has changed just because I've gotten a better job or...
Sure, right.
Like, doing that, my life has made my perception change on cards.
Sure, for sure.
So, like, when I first started playing, oh, geez, $15 for that Shockland, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would have been like, eh, maybe I can trade for it or I can just not play the Shockland. Nowadays, it would be, okay, I need a Shockland. I'll go to the shop. I'll go to D20 and just pick one up.
See, I went an opposite direction with that, like... For Shocklands and Fetchlands when they came out in cons, instead of spending, you know, $20 at the shop, oh, I'm going to, you know, support my shop and buy some packs or whatever, I'd take that money and I would buy one of those lands that I needed or buy that $20 card that I needed instead of giving them the money for
the packs
bulk product.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. And then you know you're going to get the card you yep. want then too.
Yeah. And I think, like, the perception of what is expensive has changed drastically. Like, am I fine dropping... You know, $50 on a Grim Monolith if I need one, or an Ancient Tomb. Sure, I might save up a week or two for it, but it's not really a I have to think about it decision. It's just like, I need an Ancient Tomb, I'm going to order one.
But once upon a time, that would not have been the case.
Right. Four years ago, it would have been, oh, that's $20. Could I run something better or something equivalent for less money?
Yeah, that's the change for me as well. Like, I remember building decks... and being like, okay, you know, maybe if I like the deck down the road, if I get a chance, I will upgrade and put a Sylvan Library in here. Now I just put a Sylvan Library. Like, right. Now it's just going to get a Sylvan Library. Because number one, I have multiple Sylvan Libraries sitting
yep.
there. But like I've gotten to the point with my collection where it isn't an issue for me. But that's not the case for new players coming in. And I guess the question is, are they going to be able to get to that point where we're at? If you're a new person today showing up at the shop with your pre-con deck who's just getting into Magic, are you going to be able to, in 5 years, have the collection like we have?
Very possibly. A thing that I see a lot at RLGS is players who play their EDH or whatever else, they come in for pre-releases and they come in for draft. Well, they get those cards, like I just traded with someone that we play with. I traded for two Damping Spheres and Gilded Lotus for cards that he needed for Commander. Well, I need the Damping Spheres for Modern. So you can pull your cards out of new sets that people are hunting for in different formats and then trade them away for cards that you need for your collection for EDH.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I did a little bit of trading last night at the shop, and which is rare. I never bring my trade stuff with me. And it was more of the person I traded with had Heuristic Study. And I'm like, well, I know I don't have more than a couple in my collection. It's a $12 card. This is what I want. And he's like, okay, here's the two things I want that'll equal that. Okay, cool. I'm never going to use that extra, the promo slime foot I opened. I'm not going to use that. He needed it. Cool. I'll bring it for you next week. And he got a couple other like $2 or $3 cards off of me. He needed them for his decks. I needed one for my collection. It's you trade for what you need.
Yep. I honestly think something to help with the players who are coming into it fresh with us older players is to trade away some of the cards. Like you say, you have multiple Sylvan Libraries. I have like 8 Sylvan Libraries too. And if someone's going through my bag and like, oh, I really need that Sylvan Library, I'll look through. Even if I find a card selling like $8 or something, Sylvan Library is like 15, I'm like, I'll just do that trade.
Particularly to a new player, I'm much more likely to do that. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And one thing I saw today, I can't remember who tweeted it, but the buy a box from Rivals of Ixalan had those packs that had like a random foil in it, I believe. And the
They all flip to make the treasure map on the back.
And what's the blue one?
Search for Azcanta.
Search for Azcanta. The buy a box search for Azcanta spiked for some reason, and somebody was selling it for $100. Went for $100 on whatever it was, eBay or something. So again, just because you're a new player, you know, you look at your card prices right now and you're like, oh man, these are nothing compared to the old cards. Give it a couple years. Like a lot of times this stuff winds up as players retire and stuff leaves circulation. We're seeing that right now. I remember like people being like, Theros, that's just garbage. It's never going to be worth anything. Purphoros is $20. I mean, there's cards from that block that are that stuff's starting to creep up because it's old enough now. So that'll eventually happen with this new stuff too.
Let's take something that just came out recently and discuss it then. Iconic Masters.
Okay.
Horizon Canopy, when it was reprinted, was what, like a $12 card?
I don't think it was quite that low, but it was under 20. It was definitely under 20.
Now it's like a 50-some dollar card again?
In 6 months? Not even six.
Less than.
Yep. So, I mean, that's just, they do reprint and they give the option to, and I know that we're big sticklers on not buying packs and stuff, but with those supplement sets, sometimes it's almost worth it.
Yeah.
Especially at a card that's just at rare, that could be something to look at.
Well, and so that's kind of leads me into the next question. What's the upside of, because there's an upside to prices going up like this. So have you guys seen the upsides? Because I definitely have.
I definitely have as well.
I mean, like the cards that we've bought are now worth a lot more than they once were. And I don't know how, that can't continue to go on forever, particularly with like some of the reserve list stuff. But it can continue to happen a little bit.
So we're going to go conspiracy theory here.
Oh, this is the other half of our discussion at lunch last week.
So I looked at Max, and I said, this probably isn't true, but think about this. What if Wizards of the Coast is the one that's buying out all the reserve list cards? Because literally, when they get bought out online, there's not a crap ton of them that gets put up for sale. There's only a few. So who's buying them? Where are they going?
Well, they wouldn't even have to necessarily buy all of them out. You just got to buy a few of them and start the stampede.
Yeah.
You get the one cow running in the rest of the direction and the rest of them follow. And that's what's been happening with these buyouts. They start seeing the numbers drying up on a card and then everyone snaps it up.
So I'm curious, okay, if they're buying it out, maybe it's a ploy or a push to try to abolish the reserve list to the point where they're not available for people. So they're going to be like, you know what? We could reprint these for you guys.
If
no one's going to have an issue with it.
I don't,
because you guys can't find the cards anymore.
Sure. I don't think I highly doubt that's the case.
Well, I'm pretty sure too, but it was just I looked at Max and told that Max just like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, I wonder what Dana has to say about this.
So, listeners, yes, we know the reserve list will probably never be abolished, but put on your tinfoil hat for that little speech right there.
talking about like the positives of some of the stuff. So in the last 2 days, we've had Humility go from $20 to $100. That's not going to stay at 100, but it's not going to go back to 20.
It'll probably settle around 60.
Right. Yeah, I would guess 50 to 60. Helm of Obedience, same thing, from 10 to 100. That's not going to stay at 100, but it's not going to go back to 10. Alorans went from 20 to 45. Opalescence went from 5 to 20. Our Giving Archaeologist was at 15 about a year ago, and then it jumped to 70-ish. And then it jumped to, it's at like almost 200 for a near mint one right now. No Rod was $2 forever. It spiked to 20, and now it spiked to 50 this week. If you are somebody who has been accumulating cards, your collection is just magically now worth a lot more money.
But this is a double-edged sword.
Well, right. At some point, and at some point, we're going to run out of cards that can spike too.
Yep.
Or you can't get rid of them.
Sure.
Because they're going to be so expensive, people are not willing to pay that price for it. I'm going to take one card, for instance, that I traded into the LGS because people were looking for it because it's a hot new deck. So I was able to get a good price on them. Goblin Lore. Spiked to like a 30-some dollar card. It's an uncommon from 10th edition in Portal. And I traded him in, you know, and he's kind of hemmed and hawed about it, you know, for what I wanted for him. But he sold him immediately because it's a hot new modern deck and they need a playset of them. So, I mean, some things you can get away with, but other things like, we'll take Null Rod, for instance. Who's going to spend that on a Null Rod?
It's in 1,300 EDH decks, so nobody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's one of the things that I was going to go to next. You see all the people complaining about these price spikes and how it's pricing people out of something. And I saw a Twitter post today from somebody saying, I'm not even going to play with somebody who plays with these reserve list cards anymore. I can't afford them. So if you're going to play with them, I'm not going to play with you. And he had linked Null Rod. And I didn't respond to it because I didn't want to get into it with a stranger on Twitter. I'm not going to do that. But but null rod was $2
yep.
forever. So if you're mad right now that null rod has spiked up to 50, and it was 20 before then, so it spiked from 2 to 20 to 50. But like, if you didn't jump on board when it was $2 and you didn't jump on board at 20, why are you mad now? What are you really mad at that point?
Right. And I think null rod's a great example to be talking about because it is actually an EDH playable card.
Sure, yeah, null rod's a good card.
Where like something like Mox Diamond, yeah, it can be played in EDH, but you're not going to see it in a lot of decks.
And maybe in 5 years, if this is like 2023 or something, and you're like, man, I don't want to play with these people with their null rods because I can't afford to buy one. Okay, maybe at that point in time, that's a good argument. But right now, you had your chance to get null rod and you didn't.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I could see if you walk up to someone and they're playing, you know, we'll take, for instance, like the Mox Diamond that we're talking about. You know, they go into Mox Diamond, into Chrome Mox, another one that spiked in price. You know, that into that, into that, into that. It's not that you're mad at the cards. You're mad at the player for playing that kind of deck where they're just,
right,
you know,
sure.
I'm going to buy my way into my win.
No, now, here's the other thing, though, I will say. I had this conversation with someone today, too. Because I have some expensive cards, and you, Max, does, and Chris does, too. We didn't all just go buy those cards, even the expensive ones. A lot of those cards were gotten from either grinding out trades or buying collections from some dude in the middle of the woods with a dead deer hanging in his front yard.
Or meth heads.
Or some meth heads. Right, like we've went and like worked to get collections, and you have to like work to find those collections and then bought them and got our money, recouped our money, and kept the foil birthing pod like I got out of that last collection. Like nothing is stopping anyone else from doing that, because I distinctly recall someone complaining about our friend Frank got a guy's cradle. He had traded a Lion's Eye Diamond for a guy's cradle for his token deck. Back when you could do that. I'm not even sure how close they line up in price right now, but at the time they were side by side. So he got this cradle for his token deck, won some game, and he went somewhere else. And the guy we were playing with was complaining about it. I can't believe that guy. You know, I lose because that guy's got a $400 card. It was at the time it was $200. $200 card in his deck. I can't compete against that. And I didn't say anything to him, but like the reason he had a $200 card was he bought a pack 15 years ago when he was in seventh grade that had a Lion's Eye Diamond in it, and he kept it because he's smart.
Yep.
Kept it in his binder. I'm sorry that you didn't do that, but like that's not his fault. He did.
Well, that's
you could have done that too. You didn't, but like you could have.
Yeah, I don't ever get that salt. You guys just need to keep the salt shaker at home. Seriously, I mean,
right.
This is one of the things that really irks me about players is that they get upset over the stupidest stuff like that.
Like my collection is. In a large part, like we talked about buying I want to buy a Sylvan Library for a deck or an Ancient Tomb or whatever. But a lot of that isn't actually buying it. If I want a card, I'm going to go trade for it. And I'm trading for it a lot of times out of stock I have because I've went and bought a collection from some sketchy meth head at a house somewhere and been able to flip through it and make money and keep cards from my collection and break even. I don't know. Maybe I deserve to play a guy's cradle that I found in a collection by doing the work to go do that.
Right.
Yeah, and maybe you don't deserve to play one because you didn't.
There are very few cards that I have ever dropped a lot of money on. And I'll admit my Mox Diamond that I do have, I did drop the $70 on. And this was like 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
Yep.
When 1v1 Commander
and became... And that's a steal now.
Yeah. When 1v1 Commander became huge around here, I'm like, okay. So, and I played with someone who's playing combo. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to need all these fast mana sources. And I looked and the cheapest diamond I could find was $70. I'm like... I guess I'm going to have to do this, but I'm going to have to re-go through my budget and make sure I don't, you know, cut into something I can't. So I ended up buying it, and look here now, you know, what it happened to it.
Right.
Now, I will say this as a caveat. Patrick, our guest last week, mentioned this to me this morning. He did say, to be fair, you are 6'3" and not very likely to get murdered compared to some other people when you're buying a collection.
Like when I go with Max to go to collections.
That's why I always take one of you two, because I need the muscle.
So that's true. I'm like, you know what? If you are like a 5'3 female, you're probably less likely to go to the sketchy neighborhood to buy a collection than I am. So that's not entirely fair to say you could have done it too. But for a lot of people, it is. Like a lot of people complain about this stuff, and they just didn't take the time to get those cards too.
Yep.
Right. I think to your point about putting the work in, I mean, there's countless amount of times where either you and I, Dana, have sat in a 4-hour car ride because we traveled across the state of Wisconsin to buy a collection that I found on Craigslist. And we spend the 8 hours in the car back and forth, you know, digging through the collection as you drive because, well, what else are you going to do?
Right.
And then you just wasted a day driving, hoping you hit something. There are times where Chris and I have been in the recording studio here till 3 a.m. sorting through a collection that we bought 2 hours away because if we don't do it right now, we're never going to get through all this.
Right.
So, I mean, it is a lot of work and it's time consuming, but if you put it in, you get the reward of using those cards.
And I see collections go out for sale everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't justify people complaining about super expensive cards and other people playing them. You know, I mean, God, I'm so irked right now with that.
And really, so many of them aren't necessarily even that big of a deal in EDH.
No.
The dual lands are the thing. Absolutely. Like, dual lands are slowly getting priced out of anyone's price range. Yep.
They're all over $100. I just checked today because I have the 4 cheapest ones, and they're all over $100.
Well, I checked out of curiosity when I was doing my TCG player check because the first one I bought for a deck was a Savannah, and I paid $61 for a new mint, near mint Savannah. So that's close to doubled since I bought it.
Yep.
So, yeah, those are getting priced out of anyone's price range, and I get that. But aside from those, for the most part, you know, there's Grim Monolith and there's your, you know, Treacheries and I'm trying to think what else. Wheel of Fortune and
Yawgmoth's Will.
Yawg's Will, right. I mean, there's definitely some reserve list cards that are pricey. Intuition.
That are extremely powerful in the game.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But like, you can build a really, really tight deck without any of those cards.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Cancel stops them all.
Yeah, right, right.
But Dana has a wonderful thing to say about Cancel. Just never play it.
Never, ever play Cancel. Yeah, I mean, and your deck is better with a Grim Monolith and with a, you know, Guy's Cradle, but like...
Well, it could be. I mean, there's 99 cards in that deck. You might not see it first 10 games you play.
How do you cope with that then in a deck, in a game when you sit down when you clearly have that power deck and you're playing against someone who doesn't? First of all, do you feel bad about that?
I do to a point. I kind of try to, like, especially if I see, like, I judge my players that I sit down with on whether how well I know them.
Sure.
If they're a new face to me, especially in our local LGS, because I'm there a lot. I should just have a cot in the back.
Right.
You
right,
don't?
Yeah. Not yet.
I assumed you did.
Yeah. Not yet.
I thought that's why the extra door has been closed all the time.
Especially if I haven't seen them around, and I pull out that deck, you know, like, I see their commander. I'm like, okay, I'm going to play this one because I think it's uneven power. And they go, like, basic land into like Llanowar Elf or something. I'm like, okay, so we're not fetching dual land,
right,
you know, into this. I'm gonna fetch into shock land, tapped,
right,
type of deal, you know, and then just slow play it from there.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I tend to, when I recognize that my deck is astronomically more powerful than the player I'm playing against, I slow play it, or if I catch it soon enough, I switch the deck out completely.
I mean, it's really the same thing, like, because we did an entire show on playing against new players. And even if the person isn't new, it's kind of the same concept. When you're playing against someone who's just, even if they're not new, but they're coming from like a home meta where everyone's playing $40 decks.
Or their school cafeteria because
right,
they're in high school and they're high schoolers.
Right. You just do the same thing there. It's just you just treat it like it's a new player and you just don't go for the throat like you normally would.
Yep. The other thing that I think you could probably do is seeing how Wizards prints new commander decks every year.
Mm-hmm.
Find one that you absolutely can fall in love with. And just tune it just slightly.
Yeah.
And use that as your testing deck. Like when you sit down and you play and it's like all of a sudden, you know, the three guys that you're playing with are just like, bam, 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 combo, combo, combo. And you're like, okay,
I'm
you guys want to play again?
I've just lost that game. That's fine.
Let me go get another deck out. We'll play and have a more evenly matched game.
Because I'd rather get stomped like that than stomp someone who's brand new and have
yep,
them leave feeling terrible.
Yeah, because
right,
I mean, I would rather it be me because I'm a very, you know, nice person over... You know, me doing that to the new player and then them just like huffing and puffing and walking out the store.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's why I built Boros. So I always have a crappy deck to play against.
Well, we've kind
people,
of been talking about that, like wanting to, you built that Todrick back up and I'm working on trying to find a Boros deck because I want the challenge as well. So we've been discussing that for that, partially for that reason. So you can kind of get away from just letting like your heavy hitting cards do some of the work.
Right.
That's one of the reasons when I sit down a lot of times, I play my 1v1 decks. Because they are limited hard compared to what you can do in multiplayer. I mean, with the ban list that they have, I have it all tuned for ban list. So I sit down with Mono Red against three other people, and I'm like, okay, let's see who I can take out before I die.
So is this going to keep going on, or do you think, is there an end to this? Like, how much of this stuff can keep spiking?
I think personally we'll see majority of the reserve lists get spiked out, crappy commons that are still like 2 cents now, or even Righteous War that's only like 75 cents. Right. So you'll see all the reserve list cards get bought out over time, over the next couple years. And I think you're going to see the trend move towards the modern staples, so your Karns, your Lilies. I mean, granted, they're already $100+.
Yep, it's starting already.
They're just going to double in price over the next couple years.
But at least the modern stuff they can address via master sets.
Or ban lists or stuff like that.
The reserve list, there's just nothing they can do about that.
But which leads me to believe, and this is still a conspiracy, is that me being more of a constructive format player over a casual format like Commander, Wizards going to have to choose to either let Legacy die or they're going to have to fix the reserve list.
Well, and maybe if but something like Legacy, they can also just say, well, we're just going to allow proxies.
Yeah, they could go.
And that solves so much of the legacy problem.
Right, and I think card prices are going to end up falling because people are going to. You can't sit on a card forever,
right?
You know, let's say you invest. You know, we'll take for instance a guy who bought a moat. What did he invested like $30,000 into that?
Yeah, something
insane. And if he can't get his money back,
then
he just got shafted hard.
Although I would say this, based on the prices for everything else right now, moat might be underpriced.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like compared to some other things, moat at $400. That isn't obscene like it maybe once was.
No, but I mean, a lot of players can't justify spending that when you can play other stuff that does, you know, just as good.
I mean, last year at GP Minneapolis, I hem and hawed over the Invention Soul Ring or the Invocation Force Wheel because they were the same price at the time. It's like, well, which one do I want more? And I should have got the Soul Ring.
Well, and I fully admit, I take advantage of some of this. I mean, I have 22 copies of Aloran sitting there that I've been picking up either via trades or whatever over the last few years because I thought Aloran is a good reserve list card that it gets played in Legacy, it gets played in Commander. I'm like, at some point somebody's going to buy that out, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to take advantage of that. Like I will have turned those Alorans into, I'll have doubled them. I'll get a bunch of dual lands probably at some point out of those Alorans. I have 20 some copies of Opalescence that I picked up all for less than a dollar. Or traded for at less than a dollar.
Or even under $5.
Yeah. So, like, and if that's not going to stay probably where it's at, but if that falls back down to 10 and stays steady at 10 and I can then buy list them for 8 or something, I mean, that's a dual land.
Yep.
For $20, essentially.
The upside I see to this, and this is coming from a store standpoint, is if a store owns these cards that are spiking, you can hold tournaments as that's a grand prize.
Right.
And you can draw in a lot of people. Say you have... Okay, $30 per head for, you know, say 30 people show up. Well, I can't even do the math. What is that, $900? Mm-hmm. Something like that?
Yep.
So for one dual land at $400 as a prize, that's actually, you're making a lot of money.
Well, and also your inventory at the store, that Grim Monolith that you picked up 3 years ago for $20, that's now a $100 card, being able to offer that as a prize looks way shinier to everybody else trying to win it than... maybe what it was financially. They just assume, oh, the store is giving away a $100 card. Well, they are, but the store is giving away a card they paid $20 for.
Yep.
So which is great for the store. Like, it allows them to give away more in prizes, maybe without necessarily impacting their bottom line, if they had the inventory.
Yep. And I know our LGS did that a few times for the 1v1 tournament. He was giving away a Invention Mana Crypt.
Okay.
And the two people that ended up winning that, they both looked at the store owner and they're like, well, you just give me store credit instead.
Well, sure.
Yeah, they didn't even want the card. But it draws in the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now coming from an EDH player standpoint, a lot of people don't play those constructive formats. So it's kind of hard for them to do it. But if it's something that you really want, it might be something to, think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to go in for a 1v1 tournament, you should have majority of the cards already. Just follow the list, show up for the tournament, play, have your chance at winning.
The last thing I will kind of say about this... I don't know if there's a lot more we can go into here, but so I was looking at, because the one pre-con from last year I played with quite a bit. Well, I played Edgar Markov, but I actually kept the cat's deck mostly the way it was for my son. So I was looking at it, okay, well, today, you know, what kind of things that I added to that deck, like how much worse is it today than it was back then? You know what? It really isn't. Like, I can still tweak that deck the same way as I wanted to tweak it for not much more than it was at the time when I did it. Yes, a couple cards have gone up, but a couple, like Sylvan Library is cheaper now than it was when I put it together because it had a reprint.
Yep.
Trying to think, I put a Savannah in there, but you don't need a Savannah in that deck. You don't necessarily need the one Windswept Heath to, you know, it's because it's one fetch land. This isn't Modern where you're trying to, you're using those fetches to thin out your deck, or this isn't Legacy where you're going to brainstorm something on top of your library to escape getting Inquisitioned or something.
Yep.
Like, one fetch land is just minor. I could easily run Odyssey Filters or something in those slots.
Evolving Wilds.
Yeah.
Or the slow fetch.
Right.
I was waiting for like you to turn on me like,
but if you're,
what?
If you're putting on a budget, yeah. I wouldn't run Evolving Wilds in a two-color deck. I just run basics. But like I could tweak the deck most of the way I wanted to tweak it still today for a reasonable budget.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe Gaia's Cradle is going to be a lot tougher to pick up. But what percentage of people really are playing Gaia's Cradle or Mox Diamond anyway?
It's very slim. I mean, like, I can't even think of a multiplayer combo deck that is playing heavily into those really expensive cards. Like, I mean, if you have it, you play it. If you don't, I don't know anyone who's hunting for it.
And I know people that have, I mean, I mentioned our friend Frank. Frank has a Gaia's Cradle in his...
Two of his decks.
In two of his decks now, yeah. And we have, I know my friend Blake has one. I've got one in my Edric deck that I don't play very much. So we have Gaia's Cradles in our metas, but those guys will also gladly not play those decks against a player with a weaker power deck. Like, you're not going to be forced to go against three Gaia's Cradles.
Bullshit. Yeah.
maybe it depends on the person. Maybe some people will do that. But no, for the most part, like, yes, those guys aren't going to be beating you up with their Gaia's Cradles. They're going to not play those decks against someone with a relatively untuned cat deck.
Yeah, and usually, like, we'll just stay on the Gaia's Cradle, you know, topic. If you are in a deck that's playing your Gaia's Cradle, usually when you use it, you're getting so much advantage out of it, you're just going to win the game and finish it faster.
And you just shuffle up and start a new one.
Yep.
I mean, I get it's kind of annoying, but like, Gaia's Cradle about $500 or $400 if it settles on to $400. That's a ridiculous amount of money. But it was at $200, and that's ridiculous too.
It was one of the most expensive aside from like a Tropical Island, Volcanic, and Underground Sea.
Yeah. So now it's competing with
Underground Sea right now.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
One of the most expensive cards aside from your power.
Yep. And, of course, you have Growing Rights, so you have alternatives to
Gaia's
Cradle.
It's not as good, but, like, it's pretty good. I've done a lot of damage in games with a Growing Rights Etzel mod, for sure.
Yeah, they've given you options. Storm the Vault or From the Vault or whatever it is.
Yeah, Storm the Vault.
Red Blue one that turns into the Talarian Academy or whatever.
Yep.
So you have your options nowadays. It just slows you down a little bit.
So now I wonder also if we're not going to see a bit more of that moving forward where they're like, well, we can't print Gaia's Cradle, but people clearly want this card and it's out of control, so let's make a variant on it that's a flip card or whatever, like some kind of a version of it that you can afford. Like, we just got the Crucible of Worlds.
Ramnap Excavator.
On an excavator, right.
Yep.
So I wonder if we're going to see more and more of that too, or like some of the pricier cards, they give us cheap alternatives, whether it's like a Magus in a Commander set or just a variant on it in Standard.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'll run the original one and the new one.
Exactly.
All right. So I think that's pretty much all we got to say. Unless you guys have any final comments here to make. I mean, the prices are going up, but like, it is what it is. You either deal with it or get mad, and getting mad isn't going to do anything. So
I'll get a laugh out of it, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Or
look at the reserve list and be like, well, there's still some cheap cards on here. Maybe I should buy five of these $1, I don't know, mana webs or whatever it is. And in a year, those will be $10 mana webs when someone buys them out. Then you can use that money to go pick up
something.
Right.
I guess one of my final comments I want to say is, if you have a large collection like we do, don't be a kumquat with it. If someone's really looking for a card hard, try to make the trade go through with them. Try to trade it, especially
for sure.
in your local stores. If you're at like a GP or something, you can be as aggressive as you want with those trades.
Yeah.
But if you're in your local store and it's a younger player or even, you know, a fellow player you played with for a few years that's looking for something, try to make the trade go through. Whether it be like, you know, okay, well, how about this? The rest of the month, you buy me sodas when we're down here. I'll help make this trade go through.
I did that last night. You're still $2 up on me. Cool, buy me a soda.
Yeah.
Or don't even worry about it at that point. But yeah, work something out.
Yeah, because it is our responsibility as the players for this as a casual format.
Yeah.
To help make the format better and to grow it.
And the game in general, like Magic in general, it's our responsibility to make sure the game keeps growing and welcome new players. Because if we turn into sourpusses, everybody's going to leave.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, for our side note question here, despite the fact that we all have pretty good collections now and are able to get a lot of things that we want for decks, are there any cards that right now are still that you want that are too pricey for you to pick up for a deck that you're like, man, I just can't, that's just too much. It's too rich for my blood. Anything that you want that you are unable to pick up or have not been able to pull the trigger on yet?
I have at least one.
What's your white whale, Max?
A foil Grim Monolith.
Oh.
That's approximately $1,000 right now.
Ugh.
Probably more since the buyout happened 2 weeks ago.
Right. It was $1,000 before that last Grim Monolith buyout.
So if anyone out there has one for that wants to get rid of it and sell it to me for free,
let me know. Just like Patrick. Yep, you want those foil rats for free.
Oh, speaking of that, Patrick, if you're listening, I did talk to our LGS owner, and we don't have any foil rats in the store.
I actually messaged him yesterday to ask if he opened any foil rats.
Yeah, because I asked him too, and he's like, Dana asked me the same thing. I was like, oh, okay.
I messaged him. I'll ruin the surprise on here because that's fine. I wound up actually ordering one online.
Did you?
And I thought we'll all autograph it for him and send Patrick. So he has at least one foil rat that we'll sign and send to him.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a silver marker and I'm going to write the date on the card. That's going to be my signature. So he's got his timestamp with the card.
That's a good idea.
You'll screw up and be like 2016. Oh, crap. Oh, well.
Cross it all out.
Ultra rare because it's the wrong date.
So did you have one, Chris, or no?
As of right now, there really isn't anything that I'm hunting. I have everything that I need.
You got your Imperial Recruiter that you'd wanted for your Alesha deck.
Yep.
Even though foil decks you're building are trying to trick out right now.
Well, I mean, I'm slowly continuing to foil out Alesha, but it's not really like a hunt for me. If the cards show up, cool.
Sure.
If not, whatever. Other than that, I guess the one thing I really need right now is another Cryptic Command. Even though it's only like a $25 card, I just need another Cryptic Command.
I might have an unplayed Cryptic. I'll look. I might have a Cryptic Command. I'm not using it.
I was going to say, let me run upstairs and let me look.
My only one right now is a Volcanic Island I would like to have because I'm thinking about building that Joyra deck, and I'm like, ugh, I wish I had a Volcanic Island. What do I have that I could trade for one? And I'm like, oh, man, that's way too expensive.
The Underground Sea you used to have?
I turned that into a moat, so I'm okay with that.
I don't play.
I guess I could try to trade that. I guess I could trade that moat and get one, but
or wait until it gets bought out again, and it's
or
like
see if I can
three.
Turn all those opalescences into a Volcanic Island.
Yeah, I only need a few more duels to complete my set. So I suppose if I had to really card the cards I was hunting would be the rest of the duels, so I have one of each.
And if anybody wants to trade 21 opalescences for a Volcanic Island, let me know. We can work something out.
And the opulence is spiked to like $100 a piece, and you're just like, oh no!
I would. That's the thing too. Like, even though it's not, it's like make believe money because you paid $1 for the card, you still are annoyed at if it spikes for the second time after you get rid of it, which is ridiculous. But that's how the human brain works. All right. Until next week, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.